The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Isn't God good? He is so good. Dave, some of you might not have been here in the early prayer, the beginning service prayer, but he was talking about faith. And so God was confirming that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what God laid on our heart to speak about faith. And years ago, actually, in this church, I had this vision. It was like a flash picture. It was just like that. I saw this bride getting dressed. And I feel like faith is one of the things that God's dressing his bride with. And so we're believing today that through what we preach and through what we release, that you're going to receive an impartation of faith. And so I want to share a couple revelations that God's given me. He's been speaking to me about faith and kingdom authority, and I believe the two go together. And then there's a prophetic word that I'm going to release that I want you to just trust you're going to receive impartation from. So the first revelation, God a lot of times speaks to me in phrases. He'll give me a phrase from the Bible or this short phrase. They're always short, and sometimes I'll say, oh, is that a scripture? And a lot of times it is. So one of the phrases he gave me, and then he wants me to declare them and prophesy them and, you know, seek him more on that. So pay attention to the phrases that God gives you. Sometimes he'll just give you short little nuggets of things, and that's because he's going, come on, seek me more. I want to tell you more about this. And so one of the phrases is, did I not tell you? So one night, Ken was preaching on Friday nights at Miracles in the Marketplace, and he was preaching on Mark 5, 35 to 40. So I'm going to just read the scripture really fast. And he was preaching on a different thing about the scripture, but God gave me this revelation that I never saw before. So I felt like God wanted me to share that with you. So in Mark 5, 35 to 40, it's where Jesus stills the sea. So I'm just going to read the scripture quick. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up, and he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? And then I always kind of, you know, I was like, well, why did he say that? And Lord just popped in me, just said, what did I say in the beginning? And that's where the phrase came to me. Did I not tell you? I heard that phrase. And Jesus had said in the beginning, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. So he was saying, you had no faith. I said we're going to the other side. You're not going to perish because I said we're going to the other side. So Jesus was saying, did I not tell you? And so there is a scripture that says that, and it's John 11, 40. And Jesus said, did I not tell you? Whoops. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't write down the scripture. Oh, yeah, it's John 11, 40. Sorry. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you, and some scriptures say, and promise you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. So God's saying to us, did I not tell you? And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God's saying, he wants us to know what the word says, because he wants us to know what he is saying that we may believe it and receive it, and especially about who we are. And so God's saying, did I not tell you over and over in the word? If you look at the word, if we would just take time to study what Jesus said in the word, what God said in the word, and just by faith said, God, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to act on that. What would happen? You know, really. So only believe was the other thing, a phrase that he gave me about, And he spoke to me that to me years ago, and he keeps reminding me, only believe, only believe. So it's sometimes we make faith, we make things of the Spirit so difficult, and God wants to keep them simple. He wants to say, he wants they're foundational things that are so simple that sometimes they're hard to catch. Don't you find that? Because if you're like me, I want to figure everything out. I want to think about it and that, and God's trying to get me to be simplified. So I think he only speaks to me in these short phrases because he doesn't want me to get into all the stuff. It's just simple, simple. Carrie, keep it simple. And so Ken and I went, Jim Gall had wrote this book on intercession. And so years ago we read this. And in the book, there was a place in Germany that a man named Christian Winter was starting up the Moravian 24/7 prayer again. So if any of you know history, the Moravians started prayer, and they prayed for 100 years straight 24/7. I mean, that was a total grace of God. And so there's a place in Germany, Herrnhut, Germany, and they had a prayer tower that they would use. And we were going to Germany for another reason, and so we thought, well, hey, let's go check this out. And so we went there, and of course, nobody spoke English, so God miraculously connected with people that spoke English because we didn't even know how to find a hotel. How are we going to find this guy? Where is any of this? And even the miracle of he had people visiting him that spoke English. So that helped us out a lot. So we ended up finding him, and the guy took us to the prayer tower. And so we were going there just believing God for, you know, just to encounter him with this and encounter him for our city, too, for an impartation. We want to receive an impartation of that prayer that they were doing for 100 years. And I'll never forget, we went up in this tower, and we were praying for Germany, and we were praying for our city, Elk River, and just believing God to speak something to us, and all I heard was, only believe. That's all I heard. I was, okay, God, I wanted more than that. But really, when you think about it, that's pretty profound. Only believe. We don't have to figure everything out. We don't have to know how even. We have to believe God for what he said. So we believe God what he said in the word, the written word, and we believe God what he said for the prophetic word. So God has many prophetic words over this city and over this region. And so we need to grab hold of them and believe them and say, yes, God, we're calling them in. And just recently, I wish I had the word, but Craig and Susie went to a conference with Mahesh Chavda, and so it was just another little confirmation. And a lot of times he, before the service or before the conference, will write down things that God speaks to him. And so here he had wrote down the word elk and river, and that's all I know. I don't know the rest, and you know, he didn't know what it was for. And so he says, he was sharing, he says, well, the Lord spoke to me the two words, elk and river. He says, does anybody here, you know what that's about? And so, of course, Craig and Susie stood up and said, well, we're from Elk River. And so then he had this whole word for Elk River. So we got to get that. And, yeah, so I was like, thank you, Lord. You're always prodding us on, encouraging us. Keep believing. Keep believing. And Mark 5:36, Jesus said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. So it is a scripture. Only believe. And of course, you know, we've heard this before, but really, what does the enemy come against us all the time? He said, did God really say that to you? Did God really say that? Are you really hearing that from God, you know? I don't know about you, but I deal with that a lot. So, of course, because he knows if we will catch, we'll take it and believe it, it's going to become substance. It's going to happen. So I'm going to release this word that God gave me during Living Waters worship. I felt like God wanted me to do this. And so I just want you to just receive an impartation of faith as I release this word. So this is the Lord speaking. This is what I heard during worship. And I just believe God wants to bring us, he says it in here, he wants us to bring us to a new level of faith as a church. And Dave even mentioned it. And we go from glory to glory. We go from level to level. And so we've never arrived, that's for sure. And so I just believe what would happen if this church, if we'd be known as a church of faith? What would happen, you know, really? I mean, it's mind-boggling, actually. So, Lord, I just ask you to speak through me now your word, Lord, and I just believe for an impartation to be released to the people. So this is the Lord. He says, I speak to you. Do you really believe? Do you really believe in the power of my name? I say at my name, sickness goes. At my name, disease falls. At my name, demons flee. At my name, people are set free. At my name, souls are saved. My name is above every other name. And I decree faith to arise. I call forth faith in me, faith in the power of my name, faith in the power of my Father, faith in the power of our kingdom. I release kingdom faith. I release kingdom authority. I release kingdom power. For mine is the kingdom, mine is the power, and mine is the glory. And I gave this to you. So yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. And I declare war on unbelief. The Lord says he declares war on unbelief. We just say unbelief goes in the name of Jesus. It's broken off of us. Then the Lord said, what is faith? To believe in what you can't see. What man cannot do and only I can do. Faith is in me, not in what you can do, what you know, but who I am. I am who am. Faith is not that I can. Faith is I will. This faith moves mountains of sickness, unbelief, and despair. And the list goes on and on. I call forth a shift. Lord, we just declare that now. There'd be a shift right now. We call it the shift of faith. Coming from our mind, our knowledge, to faith from our spirits and from our hearts. From revelation, God. I just believe you're going to release revelation as we speak today, God. From natural faith to supernatural faith. Faith that looks to me and not circumstances. Faith is a gift I want to release to you that you will be known as a church of faith, a people of faith. Lord, we say yes. We say yes. We say yes. We receive that right now. Lord, we are a people of faith. We are a church of faith because of you. Because of you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What?
Let's do it together. Hello, hello. Am I on? Why everybody stand up? And let's pull on heaven.
Okay, nice.
I know you have more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, God.
So, Father,
thank you, Lord.
Am I on? No. Okay.
Okay, let me. I should have. There we go. I didn't hold long enough. There's generational faith, gifts of faith. There's generational blessings that have been held up in heaven for some of you. There is not only a generational blessing. Oh, shaka baba panika. Ha, shoot. There's also the elders of the city, elders of this church, elders for generations have been pressing in for you, for this such a time as this, for something to be released from heaven.
Yes.
And you'll know because tomorrow you'll wake up, you'll just feel different, or next week or whatever. So that prophetic word, and I felt it. I just, it stirred me up, honey. So, So so Father, care. Just go ahead, honey. Father, we pull on that faith, that which Carrie just released.
Yes, Lord.
I saw the heavens shake when Carrie released that word. And we just step into that even to a deeper level. I see some of you are in water waist deep. And the Lord wants you to go for a swim. He says, just quit strolling in the water. He wants you to swim. Father, we pull on the mantles. We pull on every grace, everything. There it comes. The heavens, I declare the heavens open. The heavens open. It's released from heaven now. Thy kingdom comes on earth now as it is in heaven. Father, I see generational blessings being held. We break open the doors in Jesus' name. We say it's released. It's released. It's released to them, their children, and their children's children to a thousandth generation. Now is the glory. Now, Lord, now. We say now, it comes now. Here it comes. There's mantles falling. It's coming on you now.
And Lord,
it's coming on you now.
We declare healings have been held up for people. We declare they be released now in the name of Jesus. Faith is now. Release
faith
it
is now,
now, Lord.
It's now.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's now. It's now. Ho. Huh. 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 Ho. Now, I believe as Carrie continues this word, and as I continue this word, some of you, I feel like there's almost an unbelief, and the soil needs, it's like it's right, it's open, the heavens are open. Some of you, I saw it fall. Okay, some of you I saw it released, but there's your soil of your heart needs to be some seed sown, for you could actually believe to receive it. Okay, so as this word goes forth today, as Carrie finishes and I finish, I believe it's just going to continue. There's going to be a continued flow of a release from heaven. There's change. There's change. There's change. Glory. Go ahead, hon.
Keep going. Thank you, God. We just praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you and what you do. We believe, Lord, by faith. So I like to look up what words actually mean. So believe, what does believe mean? In the Greek, it's pisteo, I think. And it means to adhere to rely on, to place confidence in, to trust, to be persuaded, to cling to. And adhere, I thought, okay, what does adhere mean? It means to stick to something, to attach firmly to something, to bind oneself to observance. So you're like, I did have to cling to it. So it's like you're so relying on Jesus, on the Lord, that you're clinging to it, you're adhering to it, you have confidence and you're trusting in. It's not just an intellectual belief, because of course we know the devil believes, and there's more, there's a depth to it, there's a substance to it. It's not intellectual. And in John 14:12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes..." So then if we take what that means, so he who believes in me, he who trusts in me, he who relies on me, he who places confidence in me, he who adheres to me, you know, Jesus said in John that you need to abide in me. So that's what he's talking about. We need to just cling to Jesus, abide in him. And that's the next revelation he's talking to me about. So truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. So I'm still believing for this greater works.
the greater works that Jesus promised. So Jesus said, did I not tell you, you will do greater works than even I did? You know, if we really believed that, what would be happening in the world? If the body of Christ would believe that and act on it. I know I'm not there yet. So faith brings boldness and confidence. Faith causes action, because faith without works is dead. I mean, God can tell us things, and if we don't act on them, nothing happens. So really, faith is risk, too. Sometimes we have to do things that we don't understand, but we trust God. I just wish everyone here could have heard the story. We were at the Blessed Minnesota breakfast yesterday, and a pastor from Juarez, Mexico was speaking, and he's one that God, he's such a humble man, it's just amazing man of God. And so he told the story, and Juarez, not too long, 5 years ago, they became known as the worst city in the world. They had the cartel there, and, I mean, the stories are, really, they're unbelievable. You can't just imagine living in that, and all the people that were assassinated and killed, and people he knew, friends, and it's just amazing. But what I went away with was his faith. God told him things, and he didn't have he didn't understand how it would work, but he would do it. Because, this is what my next thing is, our faith has to be in God. We have to have a relationship with God. And you could tell when he was talking, he had an intimate relationship with the Father. And so he would hear things in prayer because he knew God and he heard from God. So genuine faith expects to see results, too. That was the other thing. He expected to see results. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but in 18 months, that city totally turned around. And, I mean, it's too long to go into, but if 90% of the crime dropped, the cartel got... Because before, it was like, what was the percentage that would actually go to jail when they would do a crime? That went back up to 90%. So it's a whole long story of, you know, God gave him strategy, but the faith to move forward. So here's another phrase. This is just another little piece of revelation about faith that God's been speaking to me and showing me. And it's about faith in God. Our faith has to be in God, not in ourselves. Like God, you know, he said it in the Word. It can't be in you or your knowledge or gifts even. You know, sometimes we get so hung up on the gifts. I know I do. But this phrase I've been hearing, me and you and you and me. Me and you and me. That's God speaking. And so really when you think about that, to have a revelation of that God lives in us. And we live in him. And there actually is a scripture. It's in the Amplified, so it amplifies what it means. And Jesus said in John 14:20, at that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You know, if we really had a revelation of that, oh my goodness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. You know, we've all heard this. We have. We've heard it in the church for years. But do we believe it? Do we act on it? Do we know it? Do we rest in it? Like Dave was talking about. Do we have a, you know, rest to me is, true rest is faith. True rest is there's a confidence you have. You have such a confidence in the Lord, in who he is, your relationship with him, his love for you, that there's rest. Inside, there's rest. You can rest because of that confident assurance, that confidence, faith that you have, that God is really God, that God is really God, and God is really for you, and God is really in you. Yeah, in the blood. And I've been pondering people, you know, you hear the stories of the great men of faith, great women of faith from the past, and even the people you know now that you see walk in a level of faith. And I thought, okay, Lord, what is it? How do they walk in that faith? How do they have that boldness and that confidence? And I feel like that's what God was showing me, is it's a revelation that they have an intimacy with the Father. They know God. And that gives them that faith, that confidence, and that boldness. And I'm going to share, I just felt I was just to read this because it was so good. So this was a confirmation the Lord gave me as I was reading this book just recently. And this is James Maloney, and he's a minister for years. He's really an apostle of faith. And so he's talking about faith here, and this is a confirmation about our faith needs to be in God. So Jesus placed the highest premium on his Father's kind of faith. Have faith, okay, this is Jesus speaking. Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, Jesus said. And he says, many Christians read this passage of Scripture and assume Jesus is giving some kind of formula for twisting God's arm to do things for them. That understanding is unenlightened and unbiblical. The whole of Jesus' expression on this earth was tied into a pursuit of God as the source of faith and virtue. It was tied into his supremely close relationship with the Father. He had a deep, unwavering, daily relationship with the Father. And virtue, which is power too, was added to his faith, even Jesus. It isn't so much what Jesus said, although what we say is important, as what he believed deep in his innermost being. He knew that he knew that he knew the Father would honor his words because of his relationship with the Father. His faith was in God, not only in what God could do. That's kind of that thing that faith is not that I can, it's that I will. Jesus' entire ministry expression was centralized in the Father, not just for the Father. See, it's a deeper level of faith. This is one of the greatest keys to apostolic anointing release. We must learn how not just to minister unto the Lord, which is important too, like those that say, I'm doing the ministry work unto the Lord, or I'm ministering for the Lord, but rather we must have an understanding that we are ministering in the person of Christ for the Lord. So that's me and you, you and me. We're ministering in the person of Jesus. This is where apostles and apostolic people have to cotton on that their focus is always, always centered or rooted in the person of Christ. It's in the person of Christ that we do things for the Lord. So we don't base our identity on what we're accomplishing for the Lord. Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in him. We're the vessel. Isn't that powerful? So his faith was in God, not only in what God would do. We are ministering in the person of Christ for the Lord. Hallelujah. So I just believe God is, even in our own body and the body across the world, he's preparing us. He's preparing us as a bride. And he's getting us to the place of knowing who God is, knowing who we are. You know, we've talked about that. God is doing that revelation, and we need to know who we are and know what Jesus said who we are in the Word, because Jesus said, did I not tell you? This is who you are. This is what you will do, you know? And knowing that we are in Jesus and Jesus in us, that our faith rests on him and him in us, that we become a people of faith that supersedes. This is Morris Sorello said this. I wrote it down because I thought it was so powerful. That we would become a people of faith that would enable us to supersede every natural limitation. I saw once the Lord show me a quick picture of this. It was like a veil, but it was just tissue paper. It was just like, it was like he was showing me, you know, the realm, the natural realm and the supernatural realm we just think is so far apart. You know, it's right here, really. But we don't see it with our eyes unless God opens our eyes. But it's really like tissue paper. It's easy. Just break right through. So, Father, I just thank you for faith. Lord, I thank you for the gift of faith. Lord, it is a gift, but it's also, Lord, a muscle that we can begin to use, Lord, and grow in. So, Father, I thank you that you're imparting faith to each person here. Lord, let us come to a new level of faith, a new level of faith in you, and a faith and confidence in you. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise God. I got to follow that. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to get happy. Well, I want to just piggyback on Carrie. I'm going to talk about the same thing and maybe talk a little more what faith is and help you recognize when you don't have faith and where you're at. Let me talk about hope, okay? I mean, David took some of my scriptures I was going to talk about today. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. That's amazing. He's preaching. I lean over to Carrie, I go, did we tell him what we're going to preach on? I mean, that's one of my scriptures, you know? Isn't that amazing? Man, that's amazing. And I want to talk briefly about hope. You know, hope, so kind of just piggyback, but I'm kind of, Carrie came in like a fire hose, and I'm going to just come back and let's talk some mechanics here. And sure. And I want to talk about hope because there's something about hope that's so good, but then yet can stop you from where God wants to go, and I want to share that with you. So let's talk about hope. We need hope. I mean, without hope, you'd probably die. I mean, without hope, you'd be depressed. Yeah. Hope is the dream. You know, we have the hope of salvation, okay? We have the hope to be with Jesus Christ forever. We have hope that he's coming again. We have this hope. We get up, you know, hope says that you're going to be provided for, okay? But the difference from hope to faith is a knowing. Let me read Hebrews 11:1. The New English Bible says, faith gives substance to our hopes. Another translation says, faith is the warranty deed that the thing for which you fondly hope for is at last yours. Another author of scripture says, faith is laying hold of the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. So getting back to us saying, hope, you have hope for finance to meet your obligations. But faith gives you assurance that the money's there when you need it. If, let me just tell stories, okay? In skiing this winter, I cut a nerve in my arm. I wasn't thinking a big deal, okay? And this right here went numb, okay? You know, hit it, and my numb went really warm, and I thought, well, that's really weird. And it didn't hurt really bad, but I thought, well, it'll come back or whatever. And it started to bother me. And pain started to shoot through it. And as I'm doing this study, I went to the chiropractor. Finally, after praying over it, believing the word of God and speaking by his stripes of heal, because I've seen a lot of breakthroughs in my own faith, okay? I just went to the chiropractor because sometimes you work with the doctors. Maybe I can get more specific, okay? Or maybe he can fix it. That's fine. Whatever. And so I went to Martin Ng, and he says, well, you've cut a nerve, and that nerve starts from the neck down, from the neck, and it goes down, and he says it'll grow about an inch a month. And he says about 2 years, the feeling should be back in that finger. And I left there, I was smiling. I go, okay, I know how to pray specific. See, hope, and I started to realize that I was in hope. I wasn't in faith. Faith is now. Faith, hope is it's futuristic. Well, I hope, I have great hope that this will be restored. Well, yeah, okay, that's wonderful. But faith says now. That's the difference between hope and faith. You can have hope and have a lot of joy. Hope gives you joy. So you could be a person of joy and have great hope. But that doesn't mean you have faith. There's just this cutting edge, a difference. That's why Carrie and I, it's so important. Because you may be sitting there today going, well, I have faith. It's hard to tell sometimes. It really is. Faith causes you to do things. Faith moves you. Okay? I got to get to church on Sunday. Why? Because I have a faith that there's more. I know there's more. I've got to get in his presence because I got to go hit the streets because I want to cause a difference. Faith says I can make a difference because Christ is in me. Faith says I have this treasure in earthen vessels. Faith says I'll make a difference. Now, I could have a hope for that. And well, in 10, 15 years, you know, if I pray long enough, you know, I know things will change. That's hope. Faith says it's now. Faith says this week it's going to be different. This week, it's there's change. There's change in the atmosphere. Now, faith gives you a confident assurance of things hoped for. So in faith, there's a confidence. Even if you don't see it, it'll come. It's a fine line there because you may not see it, but faith just gives you this confidence. Faith is just like, I just had a Holy Ghost stake. I just know. I just know it's this change. Just get that. So now, I mean, my feeling's almost totally back. I just went home and go, okay. Lord, I've been in hope. Faith says, Lord, it's growing now. Lord, I believe it's growing. God, I believe it's growing. Lord, I'm just going to forget about this because I just believe it's growing now supernaturally and it's going to come back quickly. I mean, it's at least 80% better than it was. Glory to God, because faith is now. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It starts out with now faith is. Now faith is. Now faith is. Okay? Amen? This is why what Carrie's releasing is so important, that you get faith. I just think I should tell a story. Kenneth Hagin tells this story. I was reading something about him. He tells this story. I think it's a great example. He talks about a guy. He's preaching on this, or in his book, he's talking about this, about the difference between hope and faith. And he talks about this guy that wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this guy, and back in the day, this is like 40 years ago, back in the day, he used to tarry for the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm waiting on God. Tarrying means waiting. And this guy came up to Kenneth Hagin and said, I believe it, you know, Hagin had a line, and he was praying on people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was the line for baptism of the Holy Spirit, release of tongues. And this guy came in the line. This guy came in the line, and just Kenneth Hagin said, you believe you can receive the Holy Spirit by evidence by speaking in tongues right now? The guy says, well, I hope so. You know, I've been waiting 13 years. I've been believing 13 years for this. And Hagin said, well, go have a chair because you're not going to receive it right now. Now, he knew what he was doing, okay? We probably wouldn't normally do that, but he just knew. He knew by word of knowledge. He's very prophetic. He knew, and he just talked to the guy a little bit about what hope was and what faith was. I want you to go sit down until you know that faith is in you and you can receive it now. Because you're not, and he says the guy got a little mad, you know. But he says he obeyed, and he saw the guy observe, and Hagin had him sit right in front. He had watched people pray, and Hagin would talk to people, and he just listened as Hagin would talk to people, and I'm ready right now. And people received that baptism, person after person after person. Finally, he stood up and said, I got it. I'm going to receive the Holy Spirit tonight. I'm going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want it now. It's like the hunger. See, faith causes a hunger. Faith causes hunger. If you're not hungry, well, you're probably not in faith. Faith causes this do not give up, this hunger. And anyway, the guy went up, and he beautifully received the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, gift of tongues. Now, even reading that for me, see, there's an impartation. Just receive this stuff. Just receive it. As Carrie was preaching towards the end, I saw some more things fall on people. There's things falling on you. Mantles, impartations, just know you're being changed. You may not feel it. It's okay. I never felt the change. All of a sudden, I was just changed. All of a sudden, I went and prayed with John Matthews, and I realized when I'd pray after, he never laid a hand on me, just by impartation, by association. You're being imparted just associating with this church. If you'll receive it, if you won't just be a lump on a log and just say, I'm coming here to receive something from God, and I'm going to go out, and faith means now I'm going to go do something with it. Faith will cause you to do something. You may get excited and go home. Oh, that was a great meeting. La-di-da. But you know, if it really doesn't motivate us, because we all deal with fear. We deal with fear. Faith will cause you to push through the fear. Do you think it's easy for her to preach? I mean, you know, but there's a faith in her that says, what I say makes a difference. And she pushes through that. Okay? When I went to the tuberculosis hospital in Ukraine, I mean, that's a place of death, okay? And I remember, I was doing really well when I first got there. But then when they kicked us out of the hospital and they locked the door, my flesh started going, you know, or whatever that voice was, you know. Well, you didn't want to really pray over anyone anyway, you know, and it's so much easier. You don't have to just, you know, leave. No. We're going to go out in the grass on the lawn, you know, and just like Jesus did, okay? And I, you know, then you feel like you hit a wall. We all hit that, okay? But faith causes you to move through that. Faith says, I know the word of God is true. I know what I carry. So I just start, you know, faith worketh by love, it says in the word. Faith works by love. So I just said, Lord, I love these people. I didn't feel it. I was going against my feelings right then. Let's just leave. I'm tired anyway from yesterday's ministry, you know. It's 10:30 morning. You know, I could just go have a cup of coffee, you know. But I love these people. Now I'm a leader. I'm the leader. I got a team with me, okay? The leader's doing this, okay? So, and, you know, Lord, I love these people. I love these people. Lord, we're just going to give away what I have in me. We're just going to bless them. I love them. So I'm doing this in my mind and maybe whispering it to myself as we're walking towards the grass, okay? But then we get to start and releasing that. Man, it's like I came home. I'm sitting there going, I could spend the rest of my life here. I mean, we just moved into the realm of love. And of course, with love and faith combined, miracles start happening. We've seen a person partially blind see Sherry, one of our team members, just three of us. I said, Sherry, that woman can't hear. Put your finger in her ear and we'll believe she's going to hear. Sherry pulls her ear off. I'll be honest with you. You're wrestling. You go, I hope it happens, you know. Your mind, that's where your mind is. My heart's going, we got to go for it. Gotta do it. Gotta. You know, it's risk. And she pulled her ear out and she could see. And so now I'm primed a little bit, okay? I mean, once that faith is primed, once you feel, you can actually see there is faith by impartation in your spirit. And that's what we're releasing. And then there's the mantle of faith. It's one of the gifts, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there's faith. You have a spirit of faith. You're built up in faith. But then there's the gifting, the Holy Ghost. That's, I felt it come. See, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and ask for the gift of faith. There's a faith that you build in your heart by revelation. That's what really Carrie was really drilling in you guys, revelation by faith. That faith will keep, the gift of faith can kind of go like this. But revelation of faith will keep you going to Jesus comes. When her and I did intercession for 10 years, oh gosh, for 20 years, but 10 years as city intercessors, or more than that. 10 years every week, and then we went to, 15 years, whatever it was. As city intercessors for Elk River, we started out, one of the key things, Elk River had one of the highest suicide rates per capita in the nation. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know that. I should get the statistics together. It was crazy. And when we started praying, it got worse. I mean, we had, literally outside my office, there were people just getting run over by trains. I mean, that day I went home, I thought, it was like bizarre. Now there was double suicides. This is after we started praying. It's like, there was a war. But see, there was a faith in us. There was something inside of us that wouldn't let us stop. We just couldn't stop because we had this faith that said God was going to do something. His word was true. He will not let us go, his word go void. He'll carry out his word. And then he started showing us. He started giving us plans. And I remember the day we went on the railroad tracks. And it's just a small team of us, a few of us on one end of the city on the railroad tracks, 3-4 of us. And Carrie, thank God for cell phones. On the other end of the city by cell phone, we're talking to another 2, 3, 4 people on the railroad tracks. And the Lord showed us what happened. That's a whole other story. I won't go into it, but He showed us what happened and what we could repent for and stand in the gap for. And we released the anointing. Keith Evenson, I'll never forget, on the other end, we're talking by phone. He says, I release the anointing of God against suicide and death on these railroad tracks. I release it now. And I'm sitting on the other, way on the other end, on the east end. He's on the west end. And I think Carrie's with him. And they released the anointing of God. And I felt it come down the tracks and it hit me and I went over. And we haven't had a suicide or a death on a railroad track in Elk River since. Amen? Amen. Okay? Now, we had a gift of faith, but we also had the faith in us. And that's what I'm talking about. It's now. God, you're going to do something now. It's now. Ha, shaha. You know, Jacob, and I'll personalize more. Jacob just called me yesterday morning, and he took this guy out to breakfast just to witness to him. And see, hope will, you'll witness and you'll just, I'm going to plant a seed. But Jake's talking and he would not leave this guy alone. This guy had a Mormon background. And Jake said, I preached the word into him. I spoke the word into him. He was literally shaking. Jake says, the guy was literally shook up from the power of God hitting him. And now, he didn't accept Christ on the spot, but see, Jacob just knows that he is. There's a knowing when you have faith. It's not, I hope he will. I hope he'll make the right. That's hope. No, faith says he will, because I spoke the word of God into him, and the word of God makes a difference. That's faith. Okay, faith is now. And faith, but then it's now, but then you don't have to see. I won't even check this out hardly, because I know it's done. It's just done. And I forgot about it for 3-4 days, and I went, praise God. Glory to God. It works. I know it works. Okay. Shoo. But see, Jacob was moving in faith. He wasn't moving in hope. He knew that he had something in him he had to give away. He had to give away. He couldn't wait to meet with the guy. He told me about a week, Dad, I'm going to meet with this guy. I tried to invite him somewhere else. You know, we were at some, no, Dad, I got to meet with this guy. See, that's faith. You're just, okay, that's faith. Praise God. So I just want you, sometimes we can think we have faith, but we're really in hope. And I just want to just make that clarification. It's hard to sometimes, so don't let your brain go there. You know, 2 years, and faith is a confidence, I think that's NIV, that says, Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things. It's almost like, it's substance. It's almost like it's just, you know, just, it's like it's substance in you, you know? It's just like it motivates you. Just, oh, I got it, you know? And so it's substance, but NIV says faith is a confidence of things hoped for, a confident assurance of things hoped for. I think that's what NIV says. There's a confidence in faith. That's when you know you have faith also. See, sometimes it's hard to know. But when you have confidence, you know you have faith.
That's right.
When you have confidence to get up and just go against all the fear, you know you have faith. There's a confidence assurance. And it's built. Carrie, she took my line, by the way. She heard me preach that once. The muscle. You know, you build it. You're just like lifting weights. And Carrie said that. You know, you build it. You build it. Yeah, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by using it. Okay, if you don't use it, you lose it. Faith is built by using faith. The more we interceded, the more we prayed, the greater level of faith we walked into. We built it. We built it. And faith by doing it, hearing it, practicing it, confessing it. I confess the word of God a lot over my finances. It just, because that fear and intimidation, all that stuff just comes at you. And, you know, I mean, anxiety and just, I just speak. I speak to that mountain. Jesus said, speak. That's a whole, I won't go there, but shaha, ha, whoo. But faith is a confidence. You know, 2 years ago, if someone came up and they had cancer, oh my God, just the C word, you know. I mean, yeah, okay, you have faith, but I'm just saying, come on, let's be real. I mean, when someone comes up and they got, I got stage 4 cancer, and they walk up like this, you know, and they look really, it's like, okay, here we go, God. You know, you got to, I hope you do something, okay? I got hope. You know, I got joy. It's like, oh, God. No, but today, boy, someone's got, oh, glory to God, let's go at it. Yeah, I mean, one night, this is terrible, okay? This is terrible. We're at a meeting, and I'm leading, and this person, you know, I ask for sick people, and this guy says, well, I have cancer. I actually got excited. I mean, you know, that he's suffering, okay, but I got excited. That's faith. Another time, this guy had blood cancer, okay? Now, this is part faith and a gift of faith, because the gift of faith came on me, too. When they're both together, it's pretty cool. But the gift of faith, I'm sitting, Craig Nelson's leading the meeting. I'm sitting in a row, and what we do is he puts a chair out and has people come up and pray. And so I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, I just felt love for this guy, number one. This guy sat in a chair. He said he had blood cancer, some kind of rare blood cancer, da-da-da. And I just remember feeling love, and then I knew Craig was going to invite people up to pray. And I started going like this. I'm going to be the first one there. I mean, that's faith, okay? And when he said, come on up, yep, you know, and I just, you know, we just released that, and the guy gave the test results, and he's healed. Praise God. See, that's faith. Faith caused you to move. Fear looks, faith moves. Fear looks, faith jumps. Okay? Whoo. Ha. Ha. So just receive that today. Even as you go home today, tomorrow, the next, if you meditate on what we said, get into Hebrews 11:1, get into some of these scriptures, listen to this talk 5 times, 10 times, just keep receiving it. So don't think you received, I just know this whole body of Christ is going to be changed. Not that, I'm not saying you're not people, say, please hear my heart, but I need more. My goodness. When Carrie's, I'm like, come on, you know. And when Poncho got up, I mean, here I'm a man moving faith. Poncho Muguera, she's talking about. I mean, I got changed yesterday. I am not the same as I was yesterday. Poncho just sharing the story of his city. I'm like, you know, iron sharpens iron. I'm just like, Man, we're going to get that DVD. Oh, Henry and Leslie were there. I mean, huh? Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I'm weeping and bawling and like, it's like a fire hose. But so we need a continual impartation. So I'm not saying you don't have faith. I'm saying there's more. I'm saying there's more. If you haven't had anyone raised from the dead yet, there's more. Okay, that's not impossible for you, for the young people. One last story. I'm over time. One last story, because I want, this is for the young people. This is for Mikhail and all the young people. In fact, why don't all the young people, if you're 22 and under, sorry, 23-year-old, 22 and younger, come on up here, okay? And we're gonna release even more, because there's more. Yeah, yeah. Come on, just line up. You're going to release impartation. Line up. Okay. Okay. And, oh my gosh, I didn't realize we had them. Okay, let's move on down. Okay. Guys, move on down. Just kind of even it out. Just everybody. Okay. You guys have to understand you're the revival generation. And if you don't take it up, well, then it's going to go to the next generation. But it's now, guys. It's not, well, I hope God's going to use me. Well, I hope there's going to be a move of God. No, it's now. It's now. And you have on you, when you're standing under authority, okay, there's an apostolic authority here. When you're standing under that, you have the anointing to impart to them. And I'm going to prove it to you, okay? So I take three, we had three young people. We had long meetings. I know I went over just a little bit, but just take 2 minutes. We're in Ukraine, and we go from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till late at night. We had these Holy Ghost meetings. We just get in God, the Father's living room, just have a good time. And we take a little break in between. But at one point, I don't remember what point it was, I felt the young people, we had three young people, Ashley, Matt, and Chur. And I said, come up on, and I just stretched these kids any way I knew how. Okay, I just call them up, go preach, and, you know, I just really stretch them. And so I said to those, at one point, I said to them, come up on stage and release a blessing, a release impartation. I said, you're revivalist. See, I called things to be not as though they were. And they're on an apostolic anointing. See, right now, you guys standing here, you're revivalists. You just don't know it. You are, okay? And there's anointing on you right now, okay? And so I said that to those three. I said, come up and release an anointing, release impartation. I think that's what I said. Release an impartation on the people. I said, anyone who wants to come up and receive a blessing, just come on up to the front. And so they packed up the front. And I told Chur and Ashley, and I'm telling you three, just learn, or these guys this. Just, I told those three, you're each unique. I'm going to get down here. Each of you are unique, okay?
Give me just 1 second.
Okay.
I really think this is important. I want this to happen. But we do have Sunday school teachers that don't know what to do with your kids anymore. So if you have children in Sunday school, go and get them and come on back in. I want, Ken, I want you to be able
to
have,
2 minutes, we're done.
I want you to have time to do this.
Okay.
You know, but we can't keep them waiting.
You're right.
So that's really important. Everybody okay with Ken just taking a little bit more time?
Yeah.
Good. So. Thank you.
Sorry about going over, but
it's important.
But anyway, each of you are unique, and each of you have a unique gifting, okay? So I told these three, I said, you're unique. I said, release the impartation uniquely, however you're gifted. So, sure, he just blew over people, and the power of God hit people. I gave the mic to Ashley. Ashley sang over them. She didn't know what to do. I mean, they're stretched, okay? She just sang over them. I think she sang in tongues. I don't know if she sang in English. And Matt just declared. He just declared. And during that time, there was a woman that came who had been bedridden for 5 months. During that time, she had come up to the altar. She had been bedridden for 5 months with severe rheumatoid arthritis. And the power of God hit her. and brought her to the floor. And she got up. Her joints were all swollen, and she was totally healed. That's the anointing that's on your life, okay? So you guys just put your hands out, and you just release faith to this group right here. Everybody stand up. So you're going to receive it out there, and these guys are going to receive something too, because it's... So just put your hands out towards them. And just, you guys all together, just say, in the name of Jesus, I release faith. I release faith. Whatever you want to say. Okay, let's all say it together. On three. One, two, three. I release faith. I release impartation to this group. I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Whew. See, something we've learned, and I'm breaking something over to youth is what we're actually doing. Because we have learned that when you get the generations involved, there's more power in it. And if I would have thought of it when Carrie and I were releasing faith, I would have brought the generations up. When we hit a roadblock in praying for healing, a lot of times we'll bring young people up. And God just does something with that. When the multitude of generations, you guys carry more than you could ever dream or think of, because, ha, amen. Okay, I'm done. Bless you guys. You can go. Sorry, I went over.
No. Oh, praise God. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I want to just share with you something. This morning on the way into church, Susie and I were talking, and I said, you know, honey, I am so tired of seeing people, we lay hands on people and not seeing them healed. You know, Chris has a ruptured disc, and I said, I'm so tired of seeing that, not seeing that broken. I'm so tired of seeing a little girl here who has Down syndrome. I'm so tired of seeing things. And we started talking a little bit, and there was just something in my heart that was saying, God, we need more. God, we need more. God, we have got to see the works of the wicked one destroyed by the power and the name of Jesus. And we were just talking a little bit about what's it take, and one of the things we said was, you know, it's got to be the compassion and love that initiates it. So you guys, what you're hearing this morning. So you were reiterating mine and Susie's conversation on the way into church this morning. But I believe that we can receive something today. If you need prayer this morning, we're going to have some prayer teams up here. Ken and Carrie are part of the prayer team. We've got other prayer teams. And I tell you, these folks are jacked up with faith to see something happen. But I want to encourage you, shift. Come with faith. Come expecting something to change in your body. And I believe we're going to see amazing things happen at the altar. If you've got something that has not moved, come with faith. Come believing. Bless each other. There's coffee out there. If you want prayer, come on up.